looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. When you hear somebody drop off, you can call in here. In fact, there's one line open right now. If you do it, call quickly, 866-444-3478. I was talking to Steve, the last caller, off the air a little bit more, and I wanted to pass something on to you. And that is, he asked me about manure being advised by me to use as a amendment to build the soil and go the right direction. The answer is, could be a good thing, could be a real bad thing these days. And it's a frustrating situation. And it comes from the fact that there are these clowns out there that are still recommending using very recalcitrant herbicides. In other words, herbicides that just don't break down hardly at all. Very difficult to break down. And they're being used on a pretty wide scale basis. They're being recommended by people that should know better, even universities, and then those same universities are turning around and trying to, you know, explain what to do to solve the problem. The name of them, one of them is called picloram, one is called clopyrrolid. There's one that's now being recommended all over the place in landscaping as well as agriculture, called imidacloprid. And these things are horrible. They're systemic. They're long-lasting. They just are very difficult to break down. And like I was telling Steve, they'll last through a cow and the manure. They'll last through the composting of the manure. And it's really become, there's if you do internet search, you're going to see a lot of conversation about this becoming a bigger and bigger problem and contaminating compost sources. It's not good because, you know, up till recently, compost has been one of the major things that we've recommended. You can test for it. There are companies like Texas Plant and Soil Lab and other companies that if they don't do that testing, they can tell you who to go and have the manure or the compost tested for the contamination of these ridiculously toxic products. But there's a test you can do yourself. And I was telling Steve, it's something that we've written about. You can see it on our website. What you do is you grow peanuts. Get raw peanuts, plant them in potting soil. They're actually very easy to germinate and grow. It's a pretty little plant, by the way. And for some reason, peanuts are more sensitive to it than anything else. Any kind of legume could be used, but peanuts seem to work better. You grow a pot of the peanuts, and then you make a tea out of whatever you're suspicious of, the compost or the manure product. Even could be an organic fertilizer. I don't see any problem with any of the ones that we recommend, but any product, I guess, could potentially have this problem because these chemicals are recommended and used so widely out there. But anyway, you make a tea out of the suspect material, and you use that tea as the fertilizer on the peanut crop. If there is picloram, clopyrrolid, the imidacloprid in the manure or the compost, the peanut will shed its leaves almost immediately and kind of wilt, more responsive than any other plant, and tell you that there's a problem. And then what you do with that product that you've found is going to be obviously up to you, but it would be one that you'd probably want to stay away from. All right, let's get back to the phones. Next up, Gene in Dallas. Hello, Gene.
Hey, hi, how are you?
You're doing well, thanks.
Listen, I've learned so much today. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I have a problem with a big, beautiful tree I have in my backyard in southern Wisconsin. It's about 80 feet tall. I can't tell you the name of the tree, but the leaves are serrated and spear-shaped, and they're so high up I can't really see what the arrangement is.
Okay. Maybe a sweet gum? Would that be possible?
That's possible.
Possible. Another big tree that has more gently serrated or shaped leaves would be the actual tulip tree. But anyway, what's the issue?
The problem is about maybe 30 feet high. Someone had cut off a branch, and they cut it very, very close to the trunk.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of puckered. Looks like a belly button. And out of that wound, it's weeping, and it's got this wet stream going down about 15 feet. And I'm concerned about what I should do about it, if anything at all. You know, and I hope it doesn't portend the end of the tree.
Well, it's one what you're seeing there, Gene, is specifically why I don't recommend flush cuts. When you flush cut, or even worse than flush cut, and it sounds like in your case, you get rot started at the top and the bottom of the cut very, very quickly. A proper cut, you probably know by listening to my show, leaves a little bit of a stub. It leaves the branch collar, and then the callusing will form properly and cover the wound. What's going to happen there probably is there will be a cavity develop, and it will finally seal itself over, and it won't kill the tree. Even if it kills does some killing of the tree, it would only kill from that point up. It wouldn't kill anything below it. So there's nothing that I would really recommend doing. If it was closer to the ground and you could easily get to it, you could splash it with hydrogen peroxide. That would kill the bacterial growth on it. And then you could do a couple of applications of what we call tree trunk goop, which is a mixture of manure, soft rock phosphate, and natural diatomaceous earth. It helps the callusing and the healing of a wound like that. But when it's way up in a tree, it's going to take proper equipment and a climber to be able to get to it and do that work. I think what I would recommend that you do is apply what we call the sick tree treatment to the base of the tree. Expose the flare if it's not already dramatically exposed, and then apply the other amendments that I recommend for bed preparation, compost, rock powders, and sugars, to the ground. That's just going to help the plant be in less stress and give it the ability to heal that wound itself.
Okay, so sick tree and tree goop. I have to look that up.
Yeah, tree trunk goop is a mixture, and that formula is on dirtdoctor.com. The sick tree treatment is a procedure, the first step of which is to get the soil off the base of the tree, expose the flare, stick holes in the ground, aerate the root zone, and then put out the amendments, the organic amendments.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I really do appreciate it.
Good luck with that. Send me a photograph of it, too, and we'll kind of do a before and after here.
Okay, I will do.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And anybody can send us photographs. We like that because it makes it a whole lot easier to answer questions. And when you send photographs of a tree, send me the top of the tree, close-up of the foliage, close-up of the ground plane, especially where the trunk's coming out of the ground. A lot of people will send one or the other, and we need to see all of it to be able to diagnose it and give you a proper thing to do. The sick tree treatment, though, is 95% of the time what needs to be done to get the plant back out of stress and in a healthy condition, and then it can resist insect and disease problems on its own. Let's go to Tamara. Is that right? In Carrollton, Texas, Tamara?
Yeah. Hi, Howard.
How you doing?
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I wanted to thank you for identifying that Cleome flower.
Oh, you sent me that one? Yeah, that was a pretty one.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the reason I'm calling today is that we have a giant live oak that's 33 years old. It's a great shade tree, but we planted it by our pool 33 years ago.
Okay.
The trunk girth is 7 feet, and it's becoming too messy for us to keep up with now.
Yep.
The leaf drop early in the year and then pretty much year round, and the clots of pollen in the spring and the acorns in the fall. It's just a full-time job.
Even though so it's an evergreen tree, it's dropping something all year long. That's right.
We didn't know. We asked a native Texan about what tree we should put by the pool, and that's one he recommended. But it was good for the first 10 years, but now it's just out of control. So we've had a trim through the years, but it's amazingly healthy, and it keeps growing. I want to drastically trim it back and take out the main limbs, but my husband wants to chop it down entirely and grind out the stumps.
That's the only way you're going to eliminate the messiness. If you trim it severely back, it's going to hurt the plant and not really solve the problem. Let me put you on hold, and we'll chat in just a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. Espoma has extremely high-quality organic products, including liquid plant foods with the innovative Easy Dose cap. Espoma also has a full line of granular organic lawn and garden foods, potting soils, and soil amendments that fit the Dirt Doctor program perfectly. Ask for Espoma products at garden centers, hardware, and other quality stores all across the U.S. For information on stores and products, visit espoma.com or call 1-800-634-0603.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production.
It can now be delivered directly to you by tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. Tamara and I talked a little bit more off the air about the live oak at the pool being messy, and I really strongly recommended, and she said she was afraid I was going to do that, I recommend leaving it there, doing some minor pruning that you would do anyway, keeping it in a healthy condition and just dealing with the fact that it drops it drops flowers, it drops pollen, drops leaves, dropping something all year long, and it is a messy tree to have over a pool. There's no question about it. A lot of people have them. But I would either deal with that or take it down completely, grind the stump out, and be done with it and plant something else. I was telling her that the tree I have over my pool, or right next to my pool at home, it was a pond cypress for years and years, and it was really super messy too. And when we remodeled everything, I took it out and changed it to a big tooth maple. And it is a very clean and excellent choice to be near a pool. At some point it's going to be real big, and shade the thing is the other issue that you've got to consider. Let's see, let me do something real quickly for you and we get right to the phones. I've got a really nice tip from Mother Earth News this week, and it's about nasturtiums, which is an annual that I love. It's a terrific plant, beautiful, and every part of it is edible. But they're talking about something here that I really didn't know how to do, and it's how to make pickled nasturtium capers. Gather up a half a cup of young green nasturtium seed pods. You search under the leaves, under the foliage, and ignore the ones that are mature, the yellowish ones. They won't be tender enough to eat. It's the darker colored ones. You place the half a cup of green seed pods into a half pint glass jar. By the way, I'll put this whole formula on dirtdoctor.com. Bring 1 cup of water and 2 tablespoons of salt just to a boil, just before boiling, and pour the mixture over the seed pods in the jar. Be careful about breaking the jar, I guess, is the only thing I might wonder about there. Allow the jar to sit at room temperature for at least 3 days. After 3 days, drain the water from the jar, retaining the seed pods. Simmer 3/4 cup of vinegar, 2 teaspoons of sugar, a few sprigs of thyme, and a bay leaf in a small saucepan. After the sugar dissolves, pour the mixture over the seed pods in the jar. When the jar is cool, replace the lid and refrigerate for 3 days before eating. Your capers should store for 6 months in the refrigerator. And to learn more about the benefits of edible flowers and sign up for a free newsletter and register for events, go to Heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, heirloomgardener.com. This feature is brought to you by Espoma. Espoma, the very high-quality lawn and garden products that you hear me talk about. They're available at garden centers, hardware stores, and all across the United States. And for more information about Espoma's wonderful products, go to espoma.com, E-S-P-O-M-A, espoma.com. Roger, well, hang on, Roger, 1 second. Let's see what Maggie's up to in Fort Worth. Hey, Maggie.
How are you?
Doing well.
I have noticed in my yard, and I've had friends note, and I thought I would bring it up as a topic today. It seems to be the year of the bagworm.
What?
Have you noticed? Bagworms.
I've seen a lot, and I've had quite a few questions about them. It may be a little heavier than normal. I guess it could be.
I have a sea green juniper
that
it's like Christmas. It's covered, and it's interesting how fast they seem to develop. I pick them off, and I come out the next day, and there are big ones back in place. So they seem to build those cases pretty quickly.
Are you seeing the small females still moving around and feeding this late?
I'm not sure what I'm seeing. I don't know what the non-bag part looks like.
Well, we've got a pretty good picture on dirtdoctor.com. Just go in the library and look at bagworm.
Okay.
It's in the Texas Bug Book, too. It looks, instead of hanging down, it's standing up like a little teepee. And it'll only be about a half inch long, half inch to an inch long. And what that is the start of the bag, and it's the female worm, caterpillar, moving around and eating at that point.
I've been picking off a lot of little bitty things, too.
Yeah, well, they may be the feeding females. That's when they're vulnerable to be killed with either BT or spinosa or basically anything.
I have a mix that I can spray on it then, because they seem to still be forming. It's not like they're just set in place and hanging there.
Yeah, that's when they're able to be killed. Once they've tied and are hanging, you can spray Agent Orange and it wouldn't affect them. It cannot get through that bag. That bag has impenetrable silk, you know, inner structure, and nothing will get through it.
We have had a friend over the other day, and we found ourselves standing out by the juniper talking about things, picking off bagworms and smashing them on the driveway.
Once they're hanging, that's all you can do. Pick them off and crush them and then toss them in the compost or wherever you want to put them. Okay.
Well, they it's an exponential amount of them this year. I have a couple friends I have had to talk into not taking out the shrubs that they're on.
Well, I think it's stress from the weather, the heavy weather, and that one crazy day where, you know, the temperature dropped 50 degrees in 12 hours or whatever it was. Maggie, I got to go. You got anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Talk
Bye.
To you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I think I got everything done that I was going to cover with you today. Let's get back to the phone, see if we can get everybody helped here. Next up is Roger Cumberland, Maryland. Hello, Roger.
Good morning and great show. Enjoy listening to all your sage advice.
Thank you.
I have a vine which has been growing on my property, and it seems to be strangling my evergreen hedges and also some of the trees that I have.
Okay. What does it look like?
Well, it comes up from the ground and just wraps around the branches and a trunk and so on of the trees and hedges, and it is it has a white flower.
White flower. Well, it could be a lot of different things. It could be a bindweed in your case. Look, you know what a morning glory flower looks like?
Yes.
Does it look kind of like a little morning glory?
It does.
Okay, that's bindweed. It's one of the tough ones because when you break it and try to pull the weeds out, any little piece you leave will grow again.
Yes, it seems to be the case. It just comes back so quickly.
Yeah, that's what it is, called bindweed. You can go into our library and get a little bit more detailed information about it. But basically, Roger, what you got to do is just keep physically removing it and then spot spray it with vinegar or one of the fatty acid products like BioSafe as it tries to resprout and regrow. And you just have to be very consistent with it and get it to use up by killing it back continuously like that, get it to use up all its stored energy, and it'll finally die out. It is very frustrating because it just keeps coming back.
Oh, it does, yeah. It's so aggravating. And I think it really has killed one of my hedges. I believe that is what's killed it. And a couple of the trees that it's really damaged them severely.
Well, the only way it could hurt the other plants is just get so thick that it blocks the sunlight from the plants that are good.
Oh, okay.
So just keep that pulled off and ripped out of the ground and spray it as it tries to come back, and you can finally get it under control.
Okay, one more quick question, if
sure.
you could, please. I've always heard that Epsom salts is an excellent fertilizer for tomato plants. Is that true? Or
yeah, Epsom salts is magnesium sulfate, and a lot of soils are deficient in magnesium. Sometimes sulfur helps quite a bit, too. So, in general, I don't use it a whole lot, but when I plant tomatoes, throwing a little bit in the hole or mixing about an ounce in a gallon of water and using it as a drench is, one time a year is all. It seems to definitely help.
Well, I definitely want to check out the Garrett juice.
Yeah, we'll use it, too. There's magnesium and sulfur in small amounts in it as well.
Thanks very much. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Glenn in Dallas. Hi, Glenn. Glenn, are you there? Glenn's going to go on hold, and I'm going to talk to Danny and go back to him in a minute. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Howard.
How you doing?
So, I'm great. My desert willow, the pink one that's the Catawba or whatever that's supposed to be, every year after it blooms, about 30 or 40% of my leaves. And is that normal, or is there a way to prevent that or get used to it?
Well, you're really breaking up, Danny. Are you on a speakerphone or something?
Yeah, but is it any better now?
No, not really. It's really breaking up. I think you said that your desert willow or Catawba, whatever it is losing foliage or losing flowers. Which was it?
Hang on. Is this any better?
Yeah, a little bit. Is it a desert willow or a Catawba?
Well, no, it's a desert willow that's the pink one that's the Catawba or whatever that is.
Oh, that's the cultivar name. And what's it doing?
After it blooms, the leaves fall. And this happens every year. I mean, it's a healthy-looking plant. I just have a heavy leaf moss.
After it blooms. Yeah, that's a sign. I've seen that on some others. It's a fungal issue that's hitting it. You need to do the sick tree treatment. And I think the most important thing you can do as the part of the sick tree treatment for this issue is cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal in the root zone at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet and gently work it into the soil. And also make a cornmeal tea. Soak some cornmeal in water, about a cup per 5 gallons. Screen out the solids and spray that cornmeal tea on the foliage and on the stem and on the trunk and on the ground and everything.
Okay.
That's fungal related is what you're seeing there. And it's not bad enough to kill the tree, but it's just, causing a cosmetic problem.
Well, and it happens every year. Would you also recommend maybe a foliar feeding a fish or no?
Well, if you're going to do that, use the whole Garrett juice mixture, and you can add the cornmeal tea to the Garrett juice mixture. You don't have to do them as separate sprays.
Good deal. All right. Well, so it is a fungal issue, and even though, we're out in the hot wind, and I guess that has nothing to do with fungus, does it?
No, not really. And just double-check, make sure that flare is dramatically exposed.
Yeah, no, we're good there.
Okay.
We're good there.
It is extremely, that's a tree that's extremely sensitive to too much water, as you probably know, and we've had a lot of rain. So that's probably related also. The cornmeal is going to help kick everything back in the balance and to get you back in good shape.
Will do, and I thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Danny. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Glenn again and see if he's paying attention here. Glenn, you there? Okay, Glenn, you're going on hold once again. You need to be listening on the phone, not on the radio. Here's Dave in Paris, I assume Paris, Texas.
Oh, hello, Howard.
Good to see you.
Yeah, I hope Glenn wakes up pretty soon. He's probably been working in his garden too hard.
Probably so.
I just wanted to give you a quick update on my tomato production this year, because I had mentioned it on a couple of calls. I planted, the only heirloom that I planted this year was a Cherokee Purple.
Okay.
I put in the Super Fantastics that you recommended, and they have done beautifully.
Isn't that a good one?
Oh, it is a good one. They make a big tomato, and they produce very well. Yep. And then I put in the Celebrities. But the heirloom that I planted this year was the Cherokee Purple.
Okay.
And first time I'd ever planted it, it was recommended by some friends of mine in Missouri who said it was the best tomato in the world. Well, it started off really well, but I can tell that it's better suited for a more northern latitude because it quit production when we got up into the 90s.
Yeah, bigger tomatoes like that will do that. Yeah.
But what I want people to know is I've picked some ripe ones, and if you like a sweet tomato, that's the tomato for you.
Yeah, it is very good.
It is sweeter than a sweet 100. It's as sweet as biting into a ripe peach.
Yeah, that's a
and
good
one. I can see why people like that, but I prefer a tart tomato with a little more acid.
Yep.
But anyway,
what you get with the Super Fantastic, that's a good way to go, is to plant both of them. And even if the production is limited on the Cherokee Purple, it's such a distinctive taste to be worth having one or two. Yeah.
And I had one. Excuse me. One of my friends understood my trouble with it because it has so much sugar in it. He says, "Oh, but it makes the best salsa when you cut it with the acid of lime juice or lemon juice, whatever you use." And the jalapenos and the onions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Oh, that's where it really shines." And just to let your listeners know, if they're curious about it, that has been my result.
That's a good tip. I appreciate the feedback on that. That's great.
All right, sir. Have a great day and love your show.
Thank you, Dave.
See you.
See you soon. Let's see if Glenn's there now. Hello, Glenn.
Yes, I am, Howard. Thank you.
What can I do for you?
I had a section of my San Augustine yard that I took out to put in some other stuff, and I was putting put some lava sand and stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed when I cut down that San Augustine sod that was put down 2 years ago, the roots have never gone through the clay that the St. Augustine came on, and that's like modeling clay now.
Huh.
And I've tried to poke holes and put in a mixture of lava sand and green sand in there, and I don't think I'm accomplishing much.
So the roots are just still up in the sod. They haven't gone down into your soil at all? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Wow, that's very unusual.
Well, I've got a prime... I've got a world-class nutgrass crop in there that's doing fine.
Well, that would indicate that it's tending to stay too wet. You know, nutgrass is a sedge, and it likes anaerobic situation. Is that possible?
Well, I try to monitor it pretty closely, but it's a zero lot line house, so we have a fairly small yard, and so I try to monitor it and not overwater.
Well, let me tell you what I would do if it were mine, especially since it's a small place. I would rent an auger, and I'd have a bit that's about an inch, the auger, inch
right.
diameter, and I would auger a bunch of holes that go down deep, and I'd be careful about utilities and, you know,
right.
all the usual stuff, but auger down deep enough to where you definitely go through the sod and down into your existing soil. I'd go, if you can, go 6 inches into the existing soil and all over the place. And then I would put some, not fill the holes up completely, but I'd put some of the amendments that we use for the sick tree treatment, you know, the lava sand. This would be a good place to use the product, a rock mineral called azomite. It would probably work beautifully in this case. And I think you'll see those roots, if you put the lava sand and azomite, maybe a little compost or earthworm castings also down in the hole, I think you'll see those roots be able to get started, and you'll see dramatic improvement in your turf.
Terrific. I haven't seen azomite before. What is
It's a commercial product that's a natural rock mineral, and it's available online. A lot of the stores around the Dallas area will have it in stock if you call around and ask for it. Give it a shot. Any of the amendments that we recommend for the sick tree treatment, though, will help. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
Texas Natural Feeds offers the finest quality non-soy, non-GMO, non-medicated feeds available on the market. Their elite line of feeds combines organic alfalfa, organic kelp, yummy peanut meal, omega-3 essential amino acids, over 60 trace minerals, direct-fed probiotics, and vitamins to make tasty and nutritious poultry feeds. They also produce quality sheep, goat, pig, and rabbit feeds. Visit their website at texasnaturalfeeds.com or call 254-829-1317.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health.
Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, let's talk about river birch trees with Kevin in Keller, Texas. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, we have it's a 12-year-old river birch that we put in when we first moved into the North Fort Worth area. One of them took off really well. The second one has been chlorotic. I think it's called chlorosis.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried sulfur and all your organic stuff, but recently we had someone look at it. He's not organic at all, but he said it has biological leaf scorch, and we're curious to what organic system we can look at to protect it because it looks like a fall tree already. It's dumping all of its leaves, and the rain actually seems to be making it dump more leaves.
Well, yeah, it's not the healthiest tree in the world long term, so it's fairly common. What I would do, Kevin, this is an absolutely perfect candidate to do the entire sick tree treatment process that I talk about all the time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that uncovering the base of the tree and aerating and applying all the organic amendments like we, you know, always talk about will green it up, make it healthier, less stress, and will help a lot. The Garrett juice spraying the foliage and the trunk and the ground plane is a very important part of this process here. But you're just simply dealing with a plant that's unhappy about it. You have to understand that with river birch in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're starting with an unhappy plant to begin with. even if it's planted properly and in an organic program and the flare is not buried and all that kind of thing. But you have a green one and one that's in trouble. The in trouble has to be coming from the fact that it's in stress. I'd bet you a dollar to a donut it's too deep in the ground and there may be circling and girdling roots cutting into the tree at the base. If that exists, you need to cut them off just like cutting off a limb. Don't be afraid it's going to hurt anything because it's going to do just the opposite. It will make the tree be able to breathe again properly and you'll see it green up and do a lot better unless there's underground and hidden some rot and damage that's already gone all the way, you know, through the cambium and really fouling up the tree. And I doubt that, because if that was the case, it would probably be close to death or even dead.
Okay. Now, did you have – you have an advertisement for a guy that used the aeration and the spade and stuff like that. Who was that again?
Well, Tyson Woods, is the one that actually taught me to use the air spade in the first place, and does that kind of work. More and more of the arborists are getting into it, but Tyson's the one with the most experience of, you know, anybody that we deal with.
Perfect. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks for calling. And his the name of his company is Trees by Woods. A lot of other people do it, and we've got the others, you know, several others named on our website, and it's something you can do. In fact, I'm about to do a video of me doing exposure with hand tools and regular stuff from around the house, and show people that if you're extremely careful how you do it, you know, just a little bit at a time. I'm actually taking a little bit more soil off my big champion ginkgo at the house now too. So we'll show people how to do that in a video form here right away, pretty soon. Here's Chuck in Garland wanting to talk about pecan tree. Hey, Chuck.
Thanks, Howard. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've got a pecan tree out here. I think it's a native, judging by the nuts when I get them.
Smaller?
Yeah.
Okay.
My truck, it's right over my driveway, and my truck sits there. It rains down strips of, real thin strips of bark. And I don't know if it's squirrels doing that or if the tree is having an issue, or I don't remember noticing it before. Maybe it's normal.
It's pretty normal. The pecan tree is even worse than the live oaks that we talked about earlier, about throwing something down, you know, all year long.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got, aphids hit it occasionally, and you get the honeydew from them, you know, the sticky stuff, and then the squirrels are throwing down stuff, and the tree just simply kicks off a lot of stuff. If it's real stringy bark, you may have some of the birds pulling it off, because they're using it to build nests too. So whatever it is, it's a natural kind of thing that's going on. It's just kind of messy. It's not really damaging. Your tree probably looks pretty healthy, doesn't it?
It seems to be fine, but I don't. When I first moved in over here, I was getting a good crop of nuts every year, and I haven't had anything but just empty shells the last couple of years, so I've been trying to keep it fertilized this year, see if maybe that'll help.
Well, it'll help, especially if you use organic fertilizers and an organic program. It could possibly be, though, Chuck, that it's just a pecan that has a built-in problem and is not going to be real productive. But if it has had pecans before, take a look at my website, dirtdoctor.com, and right on the homepage under the word guides, that's a button that takes you to all the basic programs, and we have a basic fruit and pecan tree program there, and you can follow the directions on doing as much of it as you want to do, but do at least a portion of that overall program, and I think you'll see the production kick back up for you.
Will do. Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, everybody, for calling. Once we got the phones working, fast-moving, and a lot of good questions from all over the country today. I love talking to people about all these things, especially the trees, as you know. Until I see you again next week, we'll do a commentary during the week, and go to dirtdoctor.com if you have questions during the week, and then we'll see you next time. Go organic and enjoy your healthy garden. See you next time.